This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
The Gateless Gate. Case 7.5. Once a student asked the Roshi, "I just entered Garrison last night. Please give me some instruction." The Roshi asked, "Did you have a good night's sleep?" "Yes, I did," said the student. "Then make your bed." The student had an insight. Mumon's commentary. The Roshi opened his mouth and showed his gallbladder and revealed his heart and liver. If this student hearing it failed to grasp the truth, he would mistake a bell for a pot. The poem. Because it is so very clear, it takes a very long time to realize. If you awake to the dream within the dream, you will see that the bed makes you. Now you may notice a superficial resemblance, this koan, to the story of Joshu and telling the student to wash his bowls. But I thought I would update it a little bit and play the two versions off of each other to perhaps make them each a little clearer. When Joshu asks the monk, "Have you eaten?" and the monk replies, "Yes, I have," there's an implication of the monk saying, "Yes, I've taken something in here. I've gotten something that I can digest, that I've gotten." But it's private and it's inside. And Joshu says, "Well, then wash your bowls." And there the implication can be twofold. One, in washing, don't leave any trace. Wipe away any sense that you have of having something, having gotten it. Just wipe the slate clean, be empty, be present. And it also has the connotation of bring it out, make it function. I've eaten something, or I've realized something. The point is not that you've had an inner, subjective, private experience that now you cherish, or warm your hands over like a little fire, but that no one else can see. Wash your bowls can also mean translate that into functioning. Do something useful with it. And when we think about having a good night's sleep, one way to think about that is the sense that we've completely emptied ourselves out. We're rested. We've dropped all the self-centered activities of the day, and we allow ourselves to simply drop off into sleep, where we give up control, where we give up any kind of of goal except just simply resting here, being there. And there's an analogy to what happens on the cushion. When we just settle down into just sitting and we allow to drop away any curative fantasies that we have of the goal of this sitting, what I'm going to get out of it, what's going to happen. And we let ourselves just settle into the experience of sitting itself. And that kind of sitting can be deep, it can be relaxing, it can be very centered, but it also runs the danger of being another private, inner, personal experience. So after we've slept well, we need to get up and make the bed. We need to take off the cushion, off the bed, out into the world and do something useful with it. And making the bed also, like washing your bowls, has a connotation of leave no trace. Don't leave a mess behind you. Simply take care of what's in front of you. Take care of what's next. In Mumon's comments of the case, he says Joshu has revealed all his guts, given away the whole story, right, in this simple exchange. But that it's easy to miss the point, the same way it can be easy to mistake a bell for a pot. The idea being that they can seem to be of identical shape to concave objects, can look practically identical. And yet, we could say that despite looking the same, they have very different functions. Let's just for the sake of argument say that here the pot is a utilitarian object. It's a, say, a cooking pot, and it exists only for a function. It's there to cook with. Whereas the bell really is just there to be itself, and its sound has no real utilitarian function at all. It's just what it is. We may enjoy that, but we're not using it for anything. I think this is an important distinction that we make in terms of our sitting. Two people can sit side by side and their sitting can look identical, the same way a bell can look just like a pot. But one of them can be endlessly trying to calm their minds, you know, get enlightenment, get rid of their anger. They can be on an endless treadmill of trying to make something happen. And the other looking just the same, maybe just sitting. And yet their practice is completely different. And we encounter this all the time in the kinds of discussions that come up comparing Zen and, say, certain forms of mindfulness, where meditation is explicitly used as a means to a particular end. And how we make that kind of distinction from the kind of shikantaza that Dogen talked about, that it is complete in itself. It is not a technique. The poem, because it's so very clear, it takes a long time to realize. It's very straightforward to say that Zazen is not a technique, that shikantaza is an end in itself, an expression of an enlightenment, not a technique to attain enlightenment. But no matter how many times we say that, I think it takes a very, very long time to actually get a real feel for that. I think we can't help but bring goal-oriented thinking to our practice. And it takes a very long time to really appreciate the fact that the Zendo is off that grid of, am I there yet? And how am I doing? In the two lines I added to this poem, when you awaken to dream within a dream, you realize that the bed makes you. The dream within a dream is to see the non-substantiality of the self in the midst of a empty, non-substantial world. That we awaken from a dream of permanence, a dream of control, a dream of the solidity of self and object. And we awaken to a dream, instead to a dreamlike world where everything is fleeting and ephemeral. And like the way Zazen, by its action, it enacts enlightenment by sitting down on the cushion, we become a certain kind of person. In the same way, by making the bed, we become a certain kind of person. It's not that we are just getting a made bed. We're becoming the kind of person who makes the bed. And one of the things about sitting and bed making is that they have to matter for their own sake. We may live alone, or nobody may be coming over. Nobody will ever see whether your bed is made or not. Does it matter then if you make the bed? Many days will come to the Zendo and nobody will be here. And either I'll sit alone or Chris will sit alone. I've done this many, many times. Nobody's here. Does it matter if I sit the full period? Or is it just the same as if I say, well, nobody showed up, I guess I'll go home. It goes very deep to this notion of what matters. See, I think your life is a lot like that unmade bed. Your life is a lot like that empty Zendo, whether you like it or not. Your life, does it matter what you do? What makes it matter? Does it matter only if somebody comes and watches and recognizes it? Are you going to be completely dependent on whether somebody is there or not to see who you are and see what you're doing? If you do, there's going to be a lot of gaps. There's going to be a lot of time when nobody's there and nobody cares and nobody sees and you're all alone. But who you are and what your character is, as they say, is what you do when nobody's watching. And that goes for our sitting, our making our bed, and how we behave throughout all our life.